Welcome and God bless. On behalf of our pastors, Pastor Eric and Sister Jessica, we want to thank you for tuning in to our Victory Outreach Church of Tacoma podcast. For more information on the church and upcoming events, please visit votacoma.org.
Romans chapter 12, we are going to read a few verses, verse number 3. Say amen when you have it. The Bible says, "For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourselves more highly than you ought to, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you." That's a key verse. In accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we, though many, form one body. How many know we're one body? And each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it's serving, then serve. If your gift is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If your gift is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, lead diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask that you would take full control. I pray that you would help us to zero in on your word. Help us to understand what you're saying and allow us to identify with how you've made us and help us to understand the gifts that you've put inside of us that we're able to use for your honor and your glory. I love you and I bless you. In Jesus' name, we all say amen. So tonight, I simply want to give you a recap of what we talked about last week. Last week, we talked about how the Apostle Paul here in this scripture, he uses the analogy of the human body to encourage the importance of unity in the church, but also to describe how every believer has a role within the local church. I often tell you the story about how when I came to the Lord, when I first started coming to the church, I didn't grow up in church. So church for me was a different lifestyle. But I would hear often how there was a purpose of God for my life. People would tell me things like, "You're called by God." And I used to think to myself, "What am I called to do?" Amen. But I think it's important that when you say in your heart that I'm going to follow Jesus, that you not only make it your pursuit to get to know who he is and seeking who he is, right? Because we're first called into a relationship with God. But second, I really believe that it's important that every believer search out the purposes of God for your life. Because there are things God has put inside of you. There are even past experiences that you have that will allow you to either minister to somebody else or be a blessing to someone during their time of need. But again, here the Apostle Paul, he's telling us that not only does everyone have a role, but he mentions a few things here. He says, "We are individual members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them." And when you look at the word gift in this scripture, it's actually translated in the Greek, charismata. And charismata refers to a God-given abilities that is given to us by the Holy Spirit. And spiritual gifts are gifts that we have that enables us to not only build the church, but to encourage those around us. And last week we took the acronym DESIGN, and what we did was we talked about how sometimes when people think of the calling of God or they think of spiritual gifts, they think they're like a treasure hunt where you got to go search high and low to find them. When if you really look at what you're good at, if you really look at what you're passionate about, your gifts are normally linked to what you like doing, right? So D was desire, and the question I asked last week was, what is your passion? If all things were equal, money wasn't an object, and you could do anything for God, what would that be? Now, there were some of you who answered last week, but maybe you weren't here last week, and there's someone that would like to tell us, if you could do anything, if money wasn't an issue, and I'm not even talking spiritual, if you could do anything, what would that be? Someone share with me. What would you do if money wasn't an object? Yes, sir, Paul. Okay. Okay, that's good. Somebody else, if you could do anything, money wasn't an object, something you're passionate about. You would want to be a missionary. That's good. That's good to know. sister, you speak up in front of everybody. We might send you across the world next year. If you could do anything, and again, it doesn't necessarily have to be spiritual. If you could do anything, if money wasn't an issue, what would that be? Think of that for a second. Because sometimes we live in a time where we like to put limitations on what we're able to do. We start to think of our past failures or what we're not, and therefore we don't even dream anymore. We're living in the day and age where people don't even dream anymore. But I came here to tell you tonight that you serve a big God and that you can dream. And if your heart is right with the Lord and what you want to do has pure motive and it edifies the kingdom of God, listen, there's no reason why you couldn't do that. Come on, somebody. Give me one more. If you could do anything, if money wasn't an option, what would that be? What? So you want to open a church one day? Well, that's good. That's good. And I identify with that because, again, when I came in, I was 19 years old. I came from a family that was they were chronic alcoholics, broken family. We didn't grow up in church. So I didn't understand what church meant. All I knew was I was tired at 19 years old. I had moved out when I was 14, experienced a whole lot, didn't have a good relationship with my father. And therefore, when I came to the Lord at 19, I was ready to give all. I just knew that there was more to life than just waking up, going to work, and doing it all over again. And I remember going to a church service, and I heard a pastor, much like I'm telling you today, and he started saying things like, God has a purpose for your life. He started saying things like, there is a calling with your name on it. And he began to talk about helping people. And like you, I had a burden in my heart to help people. I didn't understand. I've always had a big heart. But I just knew I wanted to help people. And it was at 20 years old where I began to have a passion. And I said, man, one day I want to open a church. One day I want to do what he's doing. I want to preach the gospel. I want to give people hope. I want to see families restored. Now, granted, I went through my battles. Because at 20 years old, I was still cussing. I was still talking crazy. I was still drinking. I was still doing other things. Mind you, I didn't grow up in church. So I had a lot of things that had to change within me. But then something happened. I started to feel the presence of God in my life. And little by little, I started making these changes. But I didn't know that 17 years later, God would send us out to pastor a church in Tacoma, Washington. You see, but I want to encourage you to dream. Dream about doing something that's beyond yourself, because God has called you to do something specific. Philippians 2:13 says this, "For it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purposes." So there are good purposes, and it is God that works inside of you and causes you to will. Now listen to the way the New Living Translation says it. "For God is working in you, giving you the desire to obey him and the power to do what pleases him." So you have to understand that God will give you the power to do what pleases him. My pastor used to tell us often, God will change your want-tos. Think about that for a second. What do I mean by that? God will change your want-tos. What does that mean? Okay. Okay. Somebody else. When I say God will change your want-tos, what do I mean by that? God will change your desires. God will change your desires. And that's not all bad. Because some of us, we don't desire good things. Come on, somebody. Come on, don't look at me like that. There are some things I desire that aren't good for me. And those are those things that I need God to change my desires. Right? Right? When we get closer to God, the things I used to want to do, I no longer want to do. Right? This is why when you get close to God, you know, for me, one of my biggest things was cussing. When I first came into the church, I cussed like a sailor. But I remember I would say a word and I would feel bad. Oh, I'm sorry. People that were around weren't even church people, and they were like, "What's wrong with you?" And then I started feeling bad. Little by little, a work started happening within my life, and God changed my want-tos. I no longer wanted to yell at the person that was acting ignorant. I wanted to help them. I no longer wanted to judge the person that kept doing the thing over and over and making bad decisions. Instead, I prayed for them. Come on now. I no longer wanted to cast the stone and expose people. I wanted to cover them. Now, who's ever been there before, right? If you're a sibling, you know how to expose somebody good. Come on, don't look at me like that. You know what I'm talking about, right? You'd be surprised. People do that today. Pastor, go talk to them. God will change your want-tos. So D was for desire. E was for experiences. Our experiences are important. Are important part of us figuring out how God made us, because what you've been through will often determine a passion or something God will ask you to do later. S is spiritual gifts. And like we read, every person who knows Jesus is given one or more spiritual gifts. For example, there are 12 listed in the book of Romans, and you can look through those yourself. And then I, mind you, remember the acronym is DESIGN. I, when searching for what God's called you to do, you got to take into consideration individual style. And I think this is important, and I'll just touch on this real quick. Each of us has a unique temperament. Our unique temperament is the makeup of our personality and individual style of doing things. You know, and I talked about how on one end of the spectrum, you can have somebody that's an introvert, and on the other, one that's an extrovert. Now, I might be loud, you might be quiet. We may approach something totally different. Which one's better? Neither. We just see things different, and depending on our style will determine how we get things done. Now, we need that within the church. We need you to be unique. We need you to be yourself. We don't want cookie cutter disciples. We're not trying to fit you in a peg and say, you need to be like this. I don't believe in that. I believe in letting people be who they're supposed to be, letting them have their individual style, letting their personality shine, because that will attract people to the Lord. And I like it when people say, "You're a pastor?" I said, "Yes, I am." They're like, "Man, you're cool." And I'm like, "Thank you. Come on now." I was telling one of the guys, me and Brother Eric were having a conversation. I said, "Bro, I don't teach religion. I teach people how to have a relationship with God and be yourself." Right? So you got to know, you don't have to be, you know, like when you get around people that have been around a long time, don't think you have to speak a specific way and start using the Christian lingo. Give me some words, Christian lingo. Come on, give me a few more. How you doing? Blessed. Come on, brother, you struggling. Just tell me. Oh, I've been praying for 12 hours. Come on, brother. Wow, I've never done that. Come on now. Right? Right? Man, people always, you know, and it's funny because sometimes, you know, and I'll just throw this out there. Sometimes, you know, I'll ask people, come hang out with me. And they'll start talking about scripture and Bible. And don't get me wrong, I love talking about the word. But I begin to think something's wrong when that's all you talk about. Now, there's nothing wrong with that. I'm just saying, look, it's okay to be yourself. It's okay to watch a football game. It's okay to watch a boxing match. It's okay to watch, amen, be who God's called you to be. G is growth phase. God calls us to grow in Christ as long as we walk this earth, we will be forced to grow. And your current growth phase factors in as part of your design and gives you valuable insight into where you can best plug in to the church. So your growth phase, because where you're at right now, you might be in a season right now where you want to grow and you're willing to do anything for God. And then you may be in a season where you're like, I'm not doing nothing. Wave at me if you've been there. These are all seasons that we will go through. But depending on our growth phase will often determine what we do for the Lord during that season of our life. Lastly, N is for natural abilities. And our natural abilities add an important component of who God made us and how he made us. What do you enjoy doing? Do you have a natural talent for fixing things? Can you naturally sing? Does music come easy to you? Does working with people or listening to people or counseling people, do those things come easy to you? If so, those are natural abilities that you have that you can use for God's honor and God's glory. If you know how to cook, that's an ability that you can use. Come on, somebody. And then lastly, last week we talked about having patience. Having patience, because when God starts drawing you close, when you begin to feel a sense of calling, when you begin to feel a sense of purpose, you have to be patient. And patience is this: it's the capacity to accept or tolerate delay, trouble, or suffering without complaint or getting upset. The dictionary.com defines it as the ability to suppress restlessness and irritation when you experience delay. And whenever you're pursuing God, you have to be patient, because I found God will normally give you three answers: yes, no, or wait. So we got to learn to be patient. Amen. So this is what we're going to do during this time. What we're going to do is this is the spiritual gifts test. And if you've taken this before, I challenge you, do it again. And if you've taken it before, because sometimes if you, like I took this years ago, I'd say 5 years ago, but then I took it last year and things changed based on, again, growth phase, where I'm at today. So the way that it works is there's a number of questions that you answer, okay? There's a number of questions, and let me give you an example. It says, I enjoy working behind the scenes and taking care of little details. Now, you will want to answer 0 through 4, 4 being the highest, 0 being none. And then you want to answer these naturally. The second question is, I usually step forward and assume leadership in a group where none exists. Now, if you don't like doing that, hit 0. If you're so-so, put a 2. But whatever you feel, then that's what you want to answer. Let me give you one more. I have the ability to organize ideas, people, and projects to reach a specific goal. So then what you're going to do is you're going to simply answer the question. So you're going to have one worksheet that has the answers, and then on the other, you're just going to jot down. So I'm going to have my wife, actually, she probably explained it a little bit better.
Okay. So I thought I didn't make enough copies, but my brother had some of the copies, so good, we got it all together. Right, so they're right there. We had 2 piles. Thank you so much. So this is what we want to share. So we're going to do the spiritual gifts test. I'm going to ask if just the adults get them. I don't know if I made enough copies, which is a good thing. There's plenty of room on the tables. You guys can even bring chairs up here if you wanted a table. And there's empty seats. The front tables are pretty open. And so what you want to do is there's 96 questions. You're going to answer 0 up to 4. Now, 0 isn't bad, okay? So 0 isn't bad, and 4 isn't necessarily good. And if part of the question is true to you, kind of, but the rest of it doesn't fit, then rate that question low. Don't, like, it's not a test, like, A is good, and, you know, so it's just 0 if it's like, that really doesn't apply, that barely applies, keep it pretty low. And the whole point is there's a grid here, so you're going to go through the questions, 1 through 96, you're going to mark them off here. And we just want to do it fair and honest to ourselves. And then we'll be able to look at the chart and see what our spiritual gifts most likely are. Does that make sense? So everybody, we're going to pass out 2. And there's room at the tables. I don't know if any of you who are sitting in chairs want to sit at the table or get a book. And does anyone need a Oh, they're still. We'll get them passed out. Here you go.
All right. So what we're going to do is we're going to go ahead and play some light music. Don't let the how many questions overwhelm you. So this is what you want to do. Simply answer one and put the answer on the other sheet. And you'll see it shows you 1, 1, 2, 2, 2, 2. Now, we also have coffee and we also have pastries we're going to be bringing out. So feel free to go grab a pastry, come, and then this is supposed to be a time for you to simply relax, take the quick test, and then at the end, it'll actually, we'll show you how to, which is your spiritual gifts. So does anybody have any questions? Does anybody have any questions? No? Okay, so we're going to go ahead, I'll come over there and help you. If you have a question, lift your hand and we'll all come and help you. Just answer them as quick as possible. Don't worry and don't spend a lot of time. It's just answer the questions 0 to 4. And then again, there's coffee available. We'll be bringing the pastries out. So we'll be playing some music. If you have some questions, please lift your hand and then we will come and help you. Right. So what we'll do, you can continue to keep answering your questions, but we'll be concluding in a few minutes. But what I'd like to do is maybe, is there a few of you that would like to share maybe one of the gifts or something you scored high on or something that opened your eyes? Anybody? Hold on. Brother James. Or something you didn't know. Or maybe you're like, wow, I didn't know, but now thinking about it, wow, it's interesting. Yeah. Did you want to share something? So hospitality, giving, and missionary, and evangelism, and they're all who you are. Awesome. Yeah, absolutely. Anybody else? Did you want to share, or maybe something that was an aha moment? Yes. Mercy and evangelism. And mercy, something tells me you forgive people. Yeah. So just so you know, but it's interesting because that helps you identify with how God created you, right? There are some of us, we're stubborn. Who, if you're in here and you're stubborn and somebody hurts you, you hold on to grudge forever. Raise your hand. Okay. We're still changing. Amen. But when you have the gift of mercy, you're merciful towards people. So that's good. Anybody else? Yes, Sister Amber. So you got missionary. And you know what's interesting? What did you get, brother? They both got missionaries. let me see this real quick. So missionaries. I want to read the definition real quick. Where is it? You. So the gift of a missionary is the distinct ability to minister effectively in cultures beyond your own. And that's interesting, especially like in an area that we're in. You know, my heart's desire is that our church be a multicultural church, a melting pot of different types of people that come together, right? Because if there's one thing that we all have struggled with is sin. Right? Sin is no respecter of person, right? And Jesus died for us all, so that's pretty interesting. Missionary. Who knows, man? One day you guys might be ministering across the world. Come on now. Amen. All right, anybody else that you want to share? Yes, Brother Paul. Q exhortation. So if you got exhortation, raise your hand. If you scored high on exhortation, okay, exhortation. Okay, so let's look up exhortation. Q. So the gift of exhortation is the distinct ability to appropriately communicate words of encouragement, challenge, or rebuke in the body of Christ. Now, this gift is very interesting because, again, there's a few like, I would say, extremes here. So appropriately communicate words of encouragement, challenge, or rebuke. So a form of exhortation is when you're encouraging, right? But also rebuke, correction, right? Because sometimes when you have the ability, and sometimes the people that have the gift of exhortation, you can kind of be blunt, right? Because you're willing to tell the truth. Honey, do you want to share any words of exhortation or kind of give insight? Because my wife has that gift.
So exhortation is the ability to uplift people. It's the ability to inspire, to encourage, to instill, just encouragement, really. And that's not a gift that I always had. I took the test in 2009, and then in 2013, it was much higher. So I had planned to take the test again tonight just to see kind of where things are. Because know this with your gifts, that they change. As we grow in the Lord, they change. The gift of teaching might manifest more. The gift of faith might manifest more. The gift of miracles, the different gifts, so they change over time. Even the gift of leadership. So exhortation, though, it's just that ability to encourage someone deeply in the Lord, to really lift them up and to help them focus their eyes on Jesus. And it's a great gift. So all you exhorters, let me see again one more time. All right. All right. God bless you.
All right. Let me take two more. If there's some, maybe you're like, wow, or you had an aha moment about your gifts, or maybe you'd like to share what your gifts were. Every single one. Man, you're super Christian. You got service. Okay, service. We had a lot of service. I seen that with a lot of people. The gift of service is the distinctive ability to identify and meet the practical needs of others. You know what's heavy about that gift service? That most people that rise to positions of leadership and stay there, hear me now, and stay there are people that understand the gift of service. Now, the people that rise to positions of leadership and do it for self-gratification, or they do it because they have an ulterior motive, they're the ones that don't stay there very long. So what am I saying to you? As believers, we need to be servant leaders, right? And this is what you have to understand. Like, people who serve people naturally, you'll be surprised how you'll automatically take a role of leadership or guiding people, because people will listen. People know that you're for real. So listen, I challenge you, serve people. That's where I'm always saying, if you see a need, learn to meet the need. See the need, meet the need. And that goes with emotionally. You see somebody's down, listen, lift them up. Even physically, don't ever lose what I like to call the eye of practicality. In other words, be practical. Don't be so spiritually minded that you're nowhere. If you see trash on the floor, pick it up. Come on now. If the garbage needs to be taken out, take it out. And we won't have the problem anymore, but you know, I'll just throw it out there. One of the things that drives me crazy, the trash always gets forgotten out here to be taken out on Sundays, because they pick it up Mondays. So that thing will be overflowing, and I'll be driving by, bags all over the place and things all over, right? Something as simple as that. If you see it, do it. But I'm glad to say we're getting a big old dumpster out there. It's going to be delivered, so we aren't going to have that problem no more. They're going to come with the key, and they're going to have to dump the trash. Amen. So listen, if you have the gift of service, just know this. This is the last thing I'll say. There is no gift too small. You're not insignificant. I used to think like that. I had complexes, man. I still got complexes sometimes. But I used to battle like the inferiority complex, where I just felt like I wasn't good enough or I wasn't able. But know this, that everything you do unto the Lord, everything you do unto the Lord with the pure heart, and if it's to build his kingdom, is never insignificant. Now that you've taken this gifts test and you kind of have an idea of maybe some gifts that you have, or maybe it's confirmation of gifts you have, I want to read to you Romans 12, 4 and 6 in closing. But now I want you to think of it differently. Now that you know what your gifts are, or maybe the things you're good at, I want to read to you this, and I want you to think about this. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function. So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. Let us use them. How many are willing to use your gifts for the Lord? Right? How many are willing to use your gifts for the Lord? Right? You know, simply you being a kind servant, right? Right? And service, you know, something as simple as, let me just throw it out there. You know, our little coffee area. I love our little coffee area. Something as simple as coming early and making coffee, right? That's service, right? But imagine the atmosphere that it creates for people that walk in, or maybe a new person that just checked their kid into the room, never been to church in a long time, is probably, you know, has some anxieties, but then they stop right there. There's a nice atmosphere. Everyone's having coffee. Now they have a cup in their hand, and they're relaxing before service. That has the ability to change the entire atmosphere in a room, or even how they're going to receive, right? It's something as simple as that. Giving your time. Whether it's helping us, you know, we're at a place right now where I'll just tell you, we're going to need some help. You know, I would challenge you, if you have time during the week and you say, man, I love helping. What about helping clean the church? Right? This is our house. Somebody say, this is our house. Well, it's the Lord's house, but it's the Lord's house. Hold on. This is my church. Let me rephrase that. Edit that. It's not our house. It's the Lord's house, but it's our church, right? It's our church. Sometimes we'll just leave it up to the men's home, but how many know if it's our church, it's something as simple. Something as simple as, I forgot where it was just at. I think it's over, it's in this area. Big old coffee stain right there. Huh? Oh, okay, you got to help me clean. No, just No, but hear me now, right? It's the little things. It's the little things, right? Coming early, hear me now, coming just a little bit earlier. Let's say you get here at 10 o'clock, 9:30 even, just to make sure everything's okay. Making sure it's about to get cold. Making sure the heater's on an hour before service, right? It's little things, using your gifts for the Lord. And I'm going to reiterate, if we got any singers in the house, you need to start singing for the Lord. Amen. All right, well, that's it. Anybody have any questions? Did you find this helpful? Yeah? Did you find it helpful? Good stuff. Well, listen, we're going to continue to do things like this. I simply want to encourage you, listen, use your gifts for God's honor and God's glory. And I will say this. I love the scripture, Ecclesiastes 10:10. If the axe is dull and its edge unsharpened, more strength is needed, but skill will bring success. If you have a gift, listen, sharpen your gift. Put time in developing that skill. If you're called to teach, practice teaching. If you're called to sing, practice singing, sister. Amen. So we're going to go ahead and close in a word of prayer. Again, I want to thank you for coming out. Thank you for investing in yourself. Again, growth is not accidental. It's intentional. And I'm believing God for the last half of this year to do great things. So again, just know that we love you. We believe in you. And you're not insignificant. You matter. I believe with all my heart God brought you here for a reason. And I believe that you're going to be a blessing to many.